I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Lamentations chapter 3 in verses 40 and 41. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Now these verses of Scripture really indicate an effort at prayer that should be offered to the Lord, should be given to the Lord. For when he says, lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens, then I think it reflects upon what Paul said in the future from that time to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, where Paul said he will that everywhere men would pray. I will, therefore, that everywhere men would pray, and then he also went on to say, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And so here in this Old Testament verse, when the hands were lifted up to God, they were to be holy hands, but he said, lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heaven. And some translations have it, lift up our hearts unto God, our hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. And so I want to give the title to the message today, Let Us Lift Up Our Hearts to God. And as we lift up our hearts, let's think of it as contacting the Lord in prayer. And also that our hearts, as they're lifted, we must remember God sees the desires of our hearts and he sees the condition of our hearts. And the desires of our hearts are those things that we're seeking from him, and the condition of our hearts isn't always what it ought to be. And so when I looked at these verses of Scripture here in Lamentations and considered the background of the people to whom Jeremiah was writing and about whom he was writing, then I thought, now, these folks, they had some problems with their hearts. Their hearts were not clean. Their hearts were not warm. Their hearts were not loving. And their hearts were not broken. But God wanted the hearts to be lifted up. And so the prophet says that they were to lift up their hearts with their hands to God in the heavens. And as they did so, then God would be looking upon the heart and would see exactly how that they were and the things that needed to happen in their lives. First of all, let us lift up our hearts to God to be made clean. See, the hearts in people, I'm not talking about the physical heart, but that inner part of us, which is the seat of the intellect, the feeling, and the will, which we cannot see, but God sees. And so we need to be made clean in our hearts, and let us lift up our hearts to God to be made clean. The Scripture tells us that in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And to regard it in your heart is to look upon it with favor, to accept it, to ignore the fact that there's something wrong in the heart. Wrong thoughts and words, they soil the heart. And a lot of hearts are filthy with sin. You say, oh, well, this is a Bible college. This is a place where we study God's Word. This is a place where we train to be preachers and teachers, and a place where we study to be missionaries. This is a place where we have prayer times. This is a place where we read our Bibles and study our Bibles. But you see, that could be said about preachers, too. I have the privilege of being in a pastor's fellowship and serving with others in that pastor's fellowship. And sometimes I think about myself, and I think I don't deserve to be among this group of men. But at the same time, I think they face the same problems that I face. They face the same temptations that I face. And so it is with every one of us. And so sometimes we fail God, and our hearts are not clean. And our hearts need to be free from the filth. Our hearts get all stopped up and become dead, as it were, as to the things of God. Our hearts need to be unsoiled to be right with God. We need to face our sins. That's why he said in verse 40, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. You say, well, what are our sins? You know what yours are. I know what mine are. And my sins I have to confess to God. Your sins you have to confess to God. I see in the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, that Paul mentioned some things there that really ought to give us concern in our own lives as Christians. These were Christian people that Paul was writing to in Ephesians 4. And in this passage, he told them that they were to put on the new man, which after God's created in righteousness and true holiness. But you see, there's the old man, that old nature that gives plague, the remnant of that. And we need to put on the new man and put aside some things that are wrong. As I look down through the passage, he was telling these Ephesians to put away lying. That means that they probably were lying then if he said to put it away. There were those who got angry. There were those that sinned by means of their anger. There were those that gave place to the devil. There were those that evidently were stealing somehow. If it wasn't taking somebody's money, it was taking away time. There were those that had corrupt communication coming out of their mouths. There were those that were grieving the Holy Spirit. There were those that had bitterness and wrath and anger and arguing and evil speaking in their hearts and their lives. And Paul was concerned about that, that it be put away. And here we are this morning in this fine place, in this chapel service. And God says that we are to lift up our hearts to Him to be made clean. If there's something that's standing between us and God, if there's that, you might think it's just some little small thing. It needs to be surrendered to God, needs to be confessed to God, that He will clean it away. We want a clean heart. In the book of Psalms in the 51st chapter, and you're familiar with the passage so very much, I'm sure. But here was the psalmist David speaking about his relationship with God and his sin of which he had been guilty. You may not be guilty of this kind of sin, but nevertheless guilty of sin, and it is something for which we need to cry out to God for mercy, to be washed thoroughly from iniquity, to be cleansed from sin. He said, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. A little further down in the passage, he asked God that he would be purged, that the sin would be purged away from him. He would be clean, he said. Then in the 10th verse of Psalm 51, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. We need to lift up our hearts to God to be made clean. And let God search us in our hearts. As we read in the book of Psalms again, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, dear people, we need to lift up our hearts to God to be made clean. A second thing is that we need to lift up our hearts to God to be made warm hearts. We so often have a low spiritual temperature, and we become deficient in passion and emotion and enthusiasm and in response and desire for God and desire for His service. We just get so cold. It's sort of like, I sometimes think of it, the cold in me is so cold that I'm chilling because of the cold when I get cooled down in my love for the Lord and my service for the Lord. And something needs to be done about that. We need to go to God, lift up our hearts to God so that the hearts can be warmed, the coldness can be taken away. Warmth for things of God may be absent in the lives of some of you that are right here this morning in this place. You don't have that kind of fervor that you maybe once had for God, the kind of fervor that you want to have for God. And so you're concerned about that because your heart is not warm as it ought to be toward the things of God and toward God Himself. We need to beseech God for a changed heart. Say, Lord, I need the temperature of my heart to go on an upward level, not a downward level. Lord, take away from me this coldness. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, the 27th and 28th chapters. here is Paul on a ship being taken toward Rome that he might have a hearing before Caesar. And in the course of the travel, then you remember the story, the terrible storm. And so the ship was wrecked. And the people on the ship, which 276 of them, including Paul, then they all made their way to the shore. Some swam to the shore. Some got boards from the ship. Some got pieces of the ship, and they made it to the shore. And there on shore, these strange people received them well. And they built a fire. And here was Paul and the others standing by the fire and warming by the fire. And Paul picked up some sticks of wood to throw on the fire, and a viper came out and bit him on the hand. He shook it off into the fire. And my point is this. We have to have fires built when we're cold that will warm us. Oh, we've got other kinds of heat today, but you think in terms of that back there. And apply it to ourselves. We need to build a fire, have a fire that will warm us. And if our hearts are cold, there has to be fire that warms us. And when that fire is God's word in us, and it makes us to burn within, then we can shake off the vipers into the fire, the demons of the devil that come and afflict us, just as that viper bit upon Paul's hand. We need to lift up our hearts to God to be made warm hearts. I think of the prophet Jeremiah in the 20th chapter of Jeremiah. And this is a passage I'm sure that's familiar to you. But here was Jeremiah, God's prophet, serving God, wanting to serve God, but yet certain things were happening to him that he did not like. Persecution came. And so in that kind of condition, he thought, well, I'm just not going to make mention of God. I'm not going to speak anymore in his name. But what does he say? But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. See, the thing that can put the fire in you and in me is God's word. When it's shut up in there, as he said, like a fire burning in my bones. And he could not hold back from speaking God's word, from serving God. We have need, dear people, not just of lifting up our hearts to God to have our hearts made clean, but we need to lift up our hearts to God to have our hearts made warm, so that we can have a heart that has lively feelings and passions and emotions and energies and sympathies, that we can have a heart that is just burning with enthusiasm for God. I think of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus appeared to them in the 24th chapter of Luke's gospel. He opened up the scriptures and talked to them and told them all the things in Moses and the prophets. He expounded those scriptures. They didn't recognize him because he was in another form. But as they traveled near where they were going to be, then Jesus went in with them and they ate together. And the scripture says about Jesus, he took bread and blessed it and broke and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. But then what did these two disciples say? They said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Folks, there needs to be a fire in us that will warm our hearts. God's precious word will give that wonderful warmth to your heart and to mine. Lift up your hearts to God to be made clean. But lift up your hearts to God to be made warm as well. Third thing is, well, I think that we need to lift up our hearts to God to be made loving hearts. It's easy, so easy to let our hearts get to the place that we lack tenderness and care for other people. I sometimes think that folks who go a long time in ministry, certainly we do it, seek to do it with passion and compassion for people. But somehow or other, when you get working in the routine of things and somewhere down the line, there may come a period of time when you do not have the love in your heart that you ought to have for God and for other people. And we become so uncaring. we can feel so uncaring. I remember when I was in college, there was a fellow by the name of Avo. He was from Cyprus. And we were both in the laundry room washing clothes and ironing clothes. And I remember that dear brother looking up toward heaven, and it came from deep down inside of him. He said, "Oh, I love God. Oh, I love God." And I tell you, it made the hair stand up on the back of my neck, because I thought, this fellow, the cry of his love for God was coming deep down from within. How did he love God? Can we make such a cry to God? Can we say that we really, truly love him? I love what is said in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Mark and the 30th verse. It's one of my favorite passages. And there it is said by the Lord Jesus, quoting in the Old Testament as well, he said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and this is the first commandment." Can we say today that this is the way that we love God? We love him with all of this inner being, in the seat of the intellect, the feeling, and the will. That we love God with our soul, the being that we have, the very life that we have. We love him with our mind, with our thoughts. We love him with our strength, which could possibly be a reference here to the bodily strength, not just spiritual strength. Do we have love for God? Everything that we have, all that we have, all that we would possess as beings here in this world, do we love him with that? It is not just loving God. We love him because he first loved us. But as well, we need to have love for others. We need to have this fond and sacrificial love for our brothers and sisters in Christ and for all people. In the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, and you're familiar with it, I know. But these are verses that I keep going back to in my own life. And I think about what was said here by Jesus. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." Look around you today here at the other students and at the faculty and staff. And ask yourself this question: do I have the kind of love that Jesus was saying that we need to have for one another? He said, "Love them like I've loved you." What did he do? He gave himself for us. He sacrificed himself for us. And we should be willing to give ourselves for anyone, everyone, other people, to die if necessary, to be their friend, to be their protector, to be those who show that we really love them and have this affection and sacrifice in our hearts for them. We need to be very attached to our brothers in Christ. It's one of the first things that I think happens when we get saved. We know that we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. I remember some stories of some people that were in my church. Some of them at home with the Lord now. But they said that we had been witnessed to by Pastor Carl Johnson, who was a pastor there at that time, and told about Jesus Christ and invited to church and all that. And they said, "No, I don't want to go to church there with all those hypocrites." And so time went on. Then one of them got saved. And he said, "It was interesting how quickly those people straightened up when I got saved." And the other one as well, when he said he went for some time with having the witness of the pastor and the witness of others, and he had not accepted Jesus Christ, but when he got saved, he said the same thing. Those people there in the Piney View Bible Church, they straightened up so quickly. Why? Because having gotten saved, and God's love came into his heart, and he began to love those people and want to be with them. And see, if we love one another, if we love God's people, we love people also who are outside of Jesus Christ, then we're pleasing the Lord. We are to lift up our hearts to God, to be made loving hearts. I was just thinking as well about how we as Christians, sometimes we equate love with doing things and giving things for other people, giving things to other people. Over in the book of 1 John, and it is chapter 4, and notice these words. that were given by that dear saint of God, chapter 3 rather. He said in chapter 3, where we find the verse 14, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Then down in the passage it says, whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, which is talking about love, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Well, now, you have these students, fellow students here, and faculty members and staff, and there is to be love that's shown to them with giving simply? No. But to show love by giving them comfort, to show love by praying for them, to show love by encouraging them, to show love by helping them, to show love certainly by your presence and by your friendship, to show love in every way that you possibly can. I read a little card at Cracker Barrel the other day, a birthday card. I didn't buy it, but I read it. It kind of reminds me of, and I'll tell you the card in just a minute, but it reminds me of a couple in our church, and he is now at home with the Lord, but they said what they used to do at birthday time and other occasions, they would go to, at that point in time, it was a drugstore that sold cards. And she said, we would go in there, and he said as well, we'd go in there and look at the cards. And he said, we then would find one, and we would say, this is the card I'm giving you for your birthday. She would read it and put it back. and the other way, and she'd have a card for him, and he'd read it and put it back. Well, I read a card, and I put it back. But the card said, and I was blessed by this, because just on the heels of reading what was in that card, I got word that a dear friend of mine that I've known for 52 years had gone home to be with the Lord. And my heart was heavy. We'd come through such precious times together. And that little card said, friendship is like riding a bicycle. Once you get the hang of it, it lasts a lifetime. Oh, if we could just learn to be such good friends to those that are around us that the friendship would be like learning to ride a bicycle. It just lasts a long lifetime. You don't ever seem to forget how to ride the bicycle. Well, we are to lift up our hearts to God to be made loving hearts. And there may be some repentance that we have to bring into our lives about this. In the book of Revelation, in the chapter 2, John was writing by inspiration of God to the Ephesian church that we made reference to a little earlier in the 4th chapter of Ephesians. But God said to the Ephesian church, the Lord Jesus said to the Ephesian church, I know your works, your labor, and patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. In other words, he says, I know what you have been doing. You've been doing a lot of things, a lot of works, and you're working hard, and you have endurance, and keep on, all that. And you've borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored, and hast not fainted. But, he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now, I know one sense of it would be that they cooled off in the things of the Lord. But let's ask ourselves this question. In regard to love for God and love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, then have we cooled off and forgotten the love that we should share with them? One final thing, and that is, let us lift up our hearts, lift up our hearts to God for a broken heart. Our hearts can get to the place that they have little or no concern for the needs of men and women and boys and girls. And maybe we could say at times we feel like there's not even a thimbleful of love in our hearts and concern in our hearts and brokenness in our hearts for people that need Jesus Christ. But God wants us to be weighed down with the responsibility for the souls that are around us, to have compassion for them. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, and it was chapter 9 and 10, he said about his own heart's burden and brokenness. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I wish and pray that I could myself constantly look at other people in that way and have such a burden for them that I would be willing to be separated from Christ, like Paul was saying, if it meant that they could get saved. That is indeed intense and deep brokenness. And Paul had that. Give us, O God, a passion for souls, like is written by, I don't have the author here, but the words are these. Give me a passion for souls, dear Lord, a passion to save the lost. Oh, that thy love were by all adored and welcomed at any cost. Though there are dangers untold and stern confronting me in the way, willingly still would I go nor turn, but trust thee for grace each day. How shall this passion for souls be mine? Lord, make thou the answer clear. Help me to throw out the old lifeline to those who are struggling near. Jesus, I long to be winning men who are lost and constantly sinning. Oh, may this hour be one of beginning the story of pardon to tell. Oh, may we lift up our hearts to God so that our hearts can be made clean, so that our hearts can be made warm, so that our hearts can be made loving, and so that our hearts can be broken for the souls of men and women and boys and girls that are around us. What does the text say? One more time. Text verses. Let us search and try our hearts, our ways rather. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing these thoughts here this morning at the Appalachian Bible College. Oh God, help us today to lift up our hearts to you so that the coldness can be taken away and we can be warm, so that we can, Father, have love within our hearts and not be unloving, so that we can, Father, have a burden and a brokenness in our hearts for the unsaved. But, Father, we know that the place which it has to start is that we're going to lift up our hearts to you, that our hearts might be made clean. So, Father, we make this prayer to you right now, asking you to please help us, to give us the courage, the strength, the incentive by your power to lift up our hearts to you to be made all these things. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.